for prophets. So it's just a few pages back up from the New Testament. If you notice, me and my wife were wearing masks. It's not mandated. We just came from Japan 8 months ago. And in Japan, it's the other way around. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, kids. You're dismissed with Mr. Frank. So, this is... So as I was saying, we just came from Japan 8 months ago. In Japan, it's the other way around. As a courtesy, if you're sick, you're supposed to wear a mask. Me and my wife were both sick. I've been coughing real bad and then runny nose and all that. Thursday night, I had a slight fever. I thought I got a flu. Before coming here, I said, if I start coughing, who should I call and say, Brother Ray, will you preach? And we don't even know who's going to be here because we arrive here 7:05 and we're thinking, I wonder who's going to be around. Maybe you, me, and the watch. There's three of us. But anyway, you are the faithful ones and you're here. Happy New Year. So if you're in Habakkuk chapter 1, keep your finger, mark it, and then we're going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, because I will relate it to that, okay? Now, a new year is before us, you know, January 1st, new year, everybody's greeting, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. But we know that after a few days of this festive celebration, we will come into a realization that our world is still in a state of unrest. I was checking the Geneva Academy and it says there's about 110 armed conflict going on right now, 110. And I think we support somebody from Myanmar or what used to be Burma. There's something going on over there. It's the ethnic group against the military. So they're kind of like, there's a lot of people dying over there. There's some Christians over there. But it's a good harvest going on over there because people have been preaching the word of God. But so we continue on. We live in such a time in which the Bible perfectly describes the conditions of the human heart. Humanity, as we know, has gone through a lot of turmoil in the past century. And the condition continues to worsen as time goes by. World War I was supposed to be the war that should end all wars. But what had happened after 21 years afterwards? World War II. And after World War II, what went on? Korean War. After Korean War, Vietnam War, and this is just the big wars, and it keeps on going on. If you check your news this morning, the thing that will come out is like 10 people were run over by this guy over, his name is Jabbar, over in New Orleans. And then in Germany, during Christmas Day, 5 people were run over by someone and hurting others. And it continues to go on, you know, the human heart, is described by the Bible itself. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it talks about our day and time. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Here's Paul writing to Timothy, listen, perilous times will be coming. And it just described that just those things, the description alone, describes very much what's going on in our day, you know. Truth breakers. Even if you sign something, people just say, oh, I don't care. I can sign it, and then I don't care if it's an agreement or what. I can break it. How about without natural affection? We got all the letters, LGBTQ, ABC, whatever. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You probably heard the saying, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Condition of the human heart, that is the condition of the human heart. Unless man is regenerated or transformed, he will never get better. And I'm talking about a natural man. If you're a Christian, you have been transformed. A man without transformation or regenerated will never get better. In fact, man, as the time goes by, has gotten worse. Reformation is not the answer. Reforming something is not the answer. We heard about the reformation of religion, right? We can reform our religion. We can reform our education. We can reform many things. But that is not the solution. As Christians, how should we live in our days? In the 10th and 11th century, was described by in 1330 by an Italian scholar named Petrarch from Tuscan, Italy. He called this century the Dark Ages. And the reason for it being the Dark Ages, they kind of pinpointed because of the lack of the light of Christianity. The lack of the light of Christianity. Today we live in this darkened world where Christianity is mocked and repudiated, and the evil one has been dragging as many as he could to defy God's call for repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ. The society is tolerant of all other religions, but not Christianity. Christianity, by the way, is having a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not a religion. If you have a religion, make sure you have a relationship with the Lord. If not, your religion amounts to nothing. It's not good for anything. Now, I painted this picture right there. Hey, it's the new year. How come you're painting our new Happy New Year like this bad? Actually, the Bible painted it for us already. This is the times. This is the sign of the times. This is the perilous times. But beyond that time, if you're a Christian, beyond this time, there is the bright picture beyond this, right? For us Christians, for us believers. And we'll talk about that. So how should we live in this perilous, dangerous times? Now, note that these are dangerous times not because of the calamities that's going on right now. There are earthquakes happening. But the perilous times that Paul was talking about is the danger because of the men and what they do. Because of men and what they do, what's in their heart. As Christians, we have something to look forward to. The next biggest event, what is it? Rapture. We're pre-trib. We believe that, pre-trib. Before the tribulation, because we're not appointed unto wrath, God will take us. God will take us before that thing happen. The next biggest event to happen is the rapture of the church. If you're a believer in Christ, harpazo. God will take you away, snatch you up, and we'll meet the Lord up in the air. We'll meet him up in the air. And more than likely, you're looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to it. But if they put me in the grave, if I die before that, I'm still going to get raptured. And so do you, okay? While we wait for the coming of the Lord, we are to live by faith, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, I mentioned, go to the book of Habakkuk, right? Let's go to the book of Habakkuk. Habakkuk was an example of a prophet who lived in the time of lawlessness. About 26 years prior to Babylon's invasion of Judah, Habakkuk, a prophet and priest, was made aware by God that Judah will be invaded by the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans, also known as the Babylonians, will be attacking Judah, okay, to punish the southern kingdom for their sins. Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1. The burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raised up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceeded. So Habakkuk was crying unto the Lord. How come, Lord, how come you're letting these things happen here in Judah? Israel became a divided nation during the reign of Rehoboam, the son of Solomon. As two divided kingdoms, the nation of Israel became Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. All kings that ruled the northern part, Israel, We're bad. We're evil. While the southern kingdom of Judah intermittently will have a good one and have a bad one. Good, bad, good, bad. The northern kingdom ended in 722 BC after it was invaded by Assyrians. So the northern kingdom was invaded by the Assyrians. So they were under the Assyrian kingdom in 722 BC. The southern kingdom, after 136 of invasion up north, was invaded by the Babylonians or the Chaldeans in 586 BC. Habakkuk was bothered by what was going on in Judah. It was a burden to him. That's why it starts with the verse, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. He cried to God, "How long, O Lord, will this go on? Why do you allow these things to happen? Lawlessness abounds, and injustice was rampant. Those in leadership positions seem to not care at all." It's kind of like our days. How long, Lord? How long till you come? How long? When are you coming, O Lord? And God answered in verse 5. This is what he said. "Behold, ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your days, which you will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup as up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand, and they shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be scorned unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it." Verse 11, it says, "Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God." And this is what the Chaldeans will do. They will attack Judah, and when they get done with it, what they're going to do? They're going to worship their God and say, "Oh God, not our God, you made this happen for us." So Habakkuk realized that this was not the answer that he's looking for from God. He knew how Judah had become and how they turned from worshiping the true God into serving other gods and living in wickedness. It is the same way that we'll find ourselves today, where God's word is not only ignored, but opposed by those who willfully do not believe it. Our times call for compromise. Habakkuk asks, "But how can a more wicked nation be used by God to punish a less wicked nation?" Lord, how can you use a very wicked nation to conquer us, which is a wicked nation, but we are less wicked than those people? How come, Lord? In verse 12, he said, "Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. Thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he?" Habakkuk realizes that God will be using the Chaldeans to correct the people. He realized that. And let's keep it straight. The righteous God did not turn a blind eye back then, and will not turn a blind eye when it comes to our time. He will not. Everything and every deed are recorded. Everything that we do have been recorded. The only time it's been erased is when you're forgiven and you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There will be an end to unrighteousness. The Word of God exposes all the sins against Him, and He records it. But the Lord said, let's jump to Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. Here's basically the conclusion. Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. A soul that is lifted up, meaning proud, is one who lives apart from God, but the righteous shall live by his faith. God calls Christians, God calls his believers, trust me. In whatever I do, trust me. God knows what he's doing. He knew what he was doing back then, and he knows what he's doing right now. A lot of things are going on right now, a lot of turmoil. Although Habakkuk could not understand, he settled to trust in God. It's a short 3-chapter book. He trusted God. The biggest problem that we have in this world is not an issue that is political, racial, social, philosophical, nor educational. The biggest problem that the world has is spiritual. Everything bad that happens around us is either the result of sin or the consequence of sin. As Christians, where should we stand? Should we stand in compromise? Should we stand in tolerance? The world will never understand Christ. It will never understand Christ. They will accept the baby Jesus in the manger. They will accept the Christmas. But not the adult Jesus who said, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. Jesus in the book of Matthew said, Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, he says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall they be of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Did he come into this world with a sword, brandishing a sword like that, and leading an army? He will later on. But in John chapter 1, verse 5, when the first time he came over, he came as a light, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. If you believe the Lord Jesus Christ, follow him. Follow him. A person who does not know Christ is blind to the reality of their spiritual condition. They're blind to that reality. They're called the natural man. In verse 14 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it goes, but their natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because it's spiritually discerned. For people who won't believe the Lord Jesus Christ, this is foolishness. And of course, without the Holy Spirit, they cannot understand it. We understand the Word of God because we have the Holy Spirit in us, explaining it, showing to us the meaning of it. No matter how much explanation you give, it will not click in their minds because they are spiritually dead. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it goes, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of men which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. They can be philosophical. They can be religious. They can be loving. But they are lost, unforgiven, and burdened with sin. There are only certain truths that the lost will understand, but they will not understand all truth. The things that they can understand is their situation as sinners. They can understand that. If they do something wrong, they realize that they're wrong. They need forgiveness. They can ask, sorry, I didn't mean it. They need help. They can ask for help. They can be in a foxhole somewhere, and the war goes on, and say, even though they don't pray, they will pray. Or they would know that God exists. Because in Psalm chapter 19, verse 1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. It declares it. Before I got saved, I always said to myself, I know there is a God. I know there is God. It's so marvelous, so wonderful. But I haven't read and understand the Bible yet. Because the heaven declares the glory of God. But as Christians, until we see the lost in their spiritual condition, we'll only offer them meaningless solutions. As Christians, we can choose to fight the social issues in our society or even choose to pick sides. We can temporarily fulfill their physical needs and reach out to them with nice words. But until we realize or recognize that their spiritual condition is that they are lost, we'll only offer meaningless solutions. The only hope we can bring the lost is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one can love them more than He does. Jesus died for every sinner. His sacrifice and shed blood is powerful enough to clean the vilest sin. It is very powerful. How do we do it? We can do it as salt and light into this world. We may not be able to lead them all to Christ, but we should try doing so. Jude chapter 1 verse 22 says, "And some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." Before we proceed, I have two questions. Have you heard of the Lord's Prayer? First thing that comes into mind is Luke chapter 11, Mark chapter 6, the Lord's Prayer. But you know, there's a Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17. John chapter 17. Do you know that Jesus prayed for us? Prayed for you, prayed for me. Before you even became a Christian. In John chapter 17, verse 13, it goes, "And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." This is Jesus talking to His Father. "I have given them thy word, and the world had hated them, because they are not of the world, as I am not of the world. I pray that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. As for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for this alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." Jesus prayed for us beforehand. He understands our situation. When I got saved, the first thing that I wanted to do, share the gospel to my family. Share it to them. And they look like, yeah. And it's kind of like going back to what we have read in Matthew, right? "Think not that I came to send peace on earth." And they started questioning, "What religion are you into?" I was a Roman Catholic, an altar boy. Sings in the choir. Looks like an angel back then. No, just kidding. But that's how it is. And they say, "What are you doing? Are you going to become a priest?" No. "I'm not trying to become a priest. I got saved. I started sharing the gospel." And good thing, before they shut me off, I finished sharing. I got done sharing. So I shared to them the gospel. And I'm going to meet some of them, because most of them have passed away already. I'm going to meet them again. Because not through me, through some other means, some people sharing them the gospel, and they have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed for the Father to sanctify them and us. What does sanctify mean? And in what should be sanctified with? Sanctify means to be set apart, to separate for His purpose. Another word for it is the word holy. Sometimes when we think of holy, I used to be a Roman Catholic, so cha-ding! The halo. But that's not what it meant. That's not what it meant. God's will is for us to be set apart for His purpose. And what is this purpose? We all know Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, right? "For by grace are you saved through faith." But if you go one more verse, it goes, verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." God is preparing us for good works, to do His work. Jesus Christ is not here, but we are representing Him. So we are representing Jesus Christ. You know, we were like useless vases broken by sin and shattered into pieces, which God transformed into a work of art. We are not saved because of our good works, yet we are saved that we may perform good works to the glory of God and the benefit of them people who are out there. Faith is the process wherein we allow God to speak to us, and in return, we listen and do what He tells us to do. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As we listen, you know, you are here. You are the faithful ones. I'm not saying they're unfaithful, but you're here to hear the Word of God preach. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, faith itself does not make us do things spiritually, but by only allowing the Spirit of God to control us. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." We understand God's Word because of the Spirit who lives in us. We understand it because the Spirit lives in us. Before, I tried to read it, but hey, you know, I had a Roman Catholic Bible back then, and it's kind of old. It says in there, I can read it because it's got imprimatur word on it. And then if I read a chapter, it's kind of like there's indulgence, 500 days in less in purgatory kind of thing. But it doesn't make sense. I'm just going to read it to less days. But now I understand it better. And you understand it better because of the Holy Spirit living in us. God's Word gives us direction and conviction and testimony. There are so many issues going on in our days, but we can only prove what is right and wrong, moral and immoral, godly and ungodly, when it comes to the Word of, in light of the Word of God. Just as John and Peter responded in the book of Acts, chapter 5, when told to stop preaching the name of Jesus, their answer was simple: we ought to obey God rather than men. We should live by faith, trusting God and His Word, and reaching them with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to guide us, for we are in a spiritual battle. You know, in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." It's the Lord God, you know. Sometimes it's so scary to... Sometimes my wife tells me, "Knock a little harder." She's not the Holy Spirit, though. but it gives me the courage to go ahead and knock on the door. You know? Let's do it. You know, man's strength fails. We can be like Peter, you know, who pulled out a sword but cowardly denied the Lord Jesus Christ afterwards. We can be like James and John, ready to call fire from heaven for a town when the Samaritans rejected Jesus. Or we could be like the Lord, who humbled Himself and said, "And when I get lifted up, I will draw all men to me." Because if we lift the Lord, He will draw the people to Him. You know, sometimes you don't know who's going to get saved. You just share the gospel. That's it. How should we do it then? How should we be then? In Paul and Silas, in the book of Acts, chapter 17, were accused with quite a different charge. "This that have turned the world upside down and come hither also." Because people started knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how important it is to live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk, right? Chapter 2, verse 5. This is the Lord saying, just how important it is. Now, when the words or phrases or sentences are repeated, that means God is putting an emphasis on it. You know, the same phrase, almost the same phrase, can be found in the book of Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 13. In Romans chapter 1, verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just," or the Christian, "shall live by faith, trusting the Lord Jesus Christ." In Galatians chapter 3, verse 11, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Just the just shall live by faith. There's so many things going on over there, but the just, the Christian, should live by his faith. We don't interpret what's going on over there. We don't, you know, we don't know what's going on. People are killing one another. But the just shall live by faith, by his faith. Meaning to say, the object of my faith is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to follow him based on his word. And I'm going to walk by it. I don't know what's going to happen to me when I go out there. Maybe one time I go knocking like this, I get bitten by a dog. Or maybe somebody shoots me. I don't know. But I need to live by faith. I need to trust my Lord. I get sick, I need to trust my Lord. I'm getting old, I need to trust my Lord. Trusting the Lord, the just shall live by faith. That's what the Lord tells us and wants us to do. And our object of our faith is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. We wander, we deviate from following him. That's why a verse was given to us in the book of Hebrews, right? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Author and finisher of our faith. He's the one who completes our faith. You know, a nice song that we've been singing is Where the Faith Shall Be Sight. You know, it will be coming soon when faith shall be sight. Meaning to say, I won't be just trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. I will see him as he is soon. I don't know how soon is, but it will be soon. And you know, Fanny Crosby, she wrote a lot of songs. And one of her songs was, it touched me. Because it says, when I see the first thing that I'm going to see, because she's blind, as a baby, I believe, something infected her eyes. That's why she grew up blind. One of her songs says, the first face that I'm going to behold will be my Lord and Savior. Fanny Crosby has passed away, and she's up there seeing her Lord. And for us as Christians, we can say Happy New Year. We can see what's going on. We can read the news. It can disappoint us. It can make us sad. It can make us weary about what's going to happen. But we need to trust our Lord. The Lord already painted the picture of what's going to happen. But beyond these perilous times, we are God's children. We are forgiven. We are under his grace. And we have a promised heaven. There will be a mansion for each one of us. And we're going to behold his majesty. And I'm so glad that we have a very good Lord. And not only that he expresses himself being good, but he expresses his love toward us. Unlike the gods that people worship, who's so capricious, but our Lord expresses his love toward us. You know, even before we got saved, he loved us. We should be thankful, and we should live by faith and trusting our Lord for who he is. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we're thankful for this time that you have given unto us. Help us to always trust you, O Lord God, and just commit to you everything, O Lord. We don't know what the future before us, but we know that you hold the future, and we know where we're headed. We're thankful for your love for us. Father, if there's anyone here who does not know you, work in their hearts, O Lord God, that they may know you and understand who you are and what you came here for. We're thankful for your love for us, and we commit to you everything. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
I learned a little bit of information from Brother Vic, an ex-Catholic, but a holy one and a good one. I'm talking to the ex-Catholic who is really bad. And thank God for saving me also. Anyway, so thank you, Brother Vic, for the message. Praise God for that.